The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. Welcome to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. What's up, Bishop Dr. Kevin Akin? What's going on, man?
Man, everything is happening. It's getting a little cooler, and the heat wave seems to be dissipating, but I'm all right.
Well, that's great, man. You and I, man, we didn't even talk about color schemes, but you rocking the black, I'm rocking the black. So, yes, hey, sir. That must be some brotherly instinct. Pastor Robert Johnson is not able to be with us today, but we're going to rock and roll with our subject today. I was in limbo about what to discuss, man. And when you find out the other subject, you probably would have said, man, we should have went with that one. You know, Sunday is the second anniversary of my mother's getting commission from labor to reward. Yes. And so part of me, you know, going through the grieving process, I will say, going through the grieving process, it sucker punch you. You know, you think you're cool, and then bam, it just hits you with a right hook. And I've been getting hit with a couple of right hooks, and not many people can hit me with a right hook and get away with it. But it got me, you know. And I really thought about last year. You talked about let's do a tribute, and I thought about doing it this go around, but I did not, talk to my therapist today. I don't have any shame to that. And I'm learning that I never really took time to grieve when she closed her eyes, finally, you know, took a last breath, because I had to, you know, go from one phase to the next. My attention was on my mom, but then when she took her last breath, my attention went straight to my dad. And that's, you know, that's just what a loving son would do. And my, you know, I'm blessed to have a brother, so it's not just me by myself. So one day, man, we'll go down that pathway of, you know, focusing on, you know, grief and the legacy of my mom. But all that being said, man, some interesting, we talked about this. We stuck our toe in the water last week with this subject, and then it just took off like wildfire. And so let's start out, you know, our subject's going to be today is the racist text messages about slavery. So a bunch of news reports came out, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm going to read this directly from CNN. And it says authorities across the United States are investigating after racist text messages, some references to slave catchers and picking cotton, reminiscence of the country's painful bigoted past, have been received by children, college students, and working professionals from unrecognized phone numbers in the wake of the presidential election. The NAACP president warned of possible broader implications of the hate-filled rhetoric reported in more than 20 states from New York to California and the District of Columbia. Attorney general of both parties are condemning the messages, vowing to root out their senders. I also want to say, colleague, in York, PA, Anthony Brown, his daughter received a text message of this nature. And then Reverend Dr. Diane Hobson, her adult daughter, she was on the Pittsburgh News, local news last Thursday, if I'm not mistaken, her daughter received a text message as well. So let's talk about this. You know, 45 will be 47 in January. 45 will be 47 in January. And the minute after he's elected, these text messages started to go out. So let's talk about that. What's your thoughts about that, Bishop?
You know, I mean, it's a travesty in a sense when it comes to where we are as in America. Also, when it deal with the revisiting of 45 in the administration, on the cuff of course, the insurrection, a lot of other things that have transpired when it comes to racism in America, and the fact that we still deal with some oppression subjects when it comes to this identity of erasing. And I say that when it comes to trying to erase history and what have you. And I think one of the things that become very important is that we are aware of what's happening and the fact that the idea of what, you know, who won in a sense when it comes to the 47th presidency. It is something that we have to be aware of. It's something that we have to also not only fight against, but also embrace the understanding of what we need to do and how we need to band together to move forward in America. And I think that we get to the point of recognizing the fact that there are some hate mail that's happening. There's some, you know, text messages that you have been forward to some of our African American Black and Brown students in the historical Black colleges. Some of those things, of course, are just rising to the top. You know, it's not anything new.
Right.
We have to recognize that. You know, there are some things that have occurred over the last 20 some odd years in a sense of actually returning back to, you know, the slavery in a sense. So these are the things that we have to kind of look at and be aware of as we are walking to and fro as it pertains to our daily lives. Some things that we have to ban and fight against, and some things we have to band together in understanding how to tackle this.
Yeah. So it's very interesting here that you, not you personally, Bishop, let me reframe that, that the person or individuals or entities would have the gall to utilize, I would go on a hateful terroristic attack through text messaging. You got me. That's the first thing. I've been cyberbullied before. You know what I mean? Right. Not in this regards, but I've been cyberbullied. Now, I'm going to say something that's probably going to have this whole thing buzzing that a pastor is going to make this statement. But when I got cyberbullied, I literally told the cyberbully, I said, "You ain't nothing but a punk behind a text." Those are my exact words. I said, you ain't nothing but a punk behind your text. Show who you are. And so it was a diatribe. It was a back and forth. And someone said, stop going back and forth with the person because you're just energizing them. And that's what I start. That's literally what I did. I just stopped. And sometimes, you know, I get the little inklings like, hello, how you doing? I know those games and everything. And then when you respond, then boom, they try to come in a juvenile manner. Matter to, you know, do bullying. So, you know, my life was never threatened, nothing. It was really juvenile at that point. So I go on to say, you know, it was meant to arouse me. It was meant to, you know, cause me to get angst. It was meant to take away my peace. That's what cyberbullies do. And that's what this cyberbully did. Now, there's some questions that I'm going to raise after our break. We're nowhere near our break because I don't want to get off script, but well, let me just go ahead and raise the questions and everything. There's some questions that need to be raised, and this is why we call it Conversation Unplugged, because while everybody is focusing on the text messages that was sent, and it was targeted to African Americans, right? Whether it's African American children in middle school or high school, African American student, African American grown adults, these were targeted towards African American. But here's the question that I haven't read in the newspaper, because I haven't watched the news as of yet since election night. I can't stomach watching the news right now. But here's some questions that I would like to ask. And maybe you can chime in, Bishop, and those who are watching us Facebook or those who are listening to us on WWDB, you can provide insight as well. Okay, question one. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Where did they get the data lists to target African Americans? Where did they get the data information to say these group of phone numbers are middle school students that are African American? These group of students are high school. You follow me? These are college students. These are young adults, right? Why aren't those questions being asked? Because it's very interesting that no other ethnic group has been hit with these hateful text messages except us, right? And nobody is raising the question from the government level, from the state level, to the local level, where in the heck did they get the data or the information to target these individuals? What's your thoughts about that, Bishop?
Well, I mean, it goes without saying that there is, everything that we sign up for, there is a disclaimer when it comes to the area of race, color, gender, everything that we sign up for, so to speak. They're asking questions and taking statistics of how many African-American, how many Latino, how many, and when you begin to look at the demographics in that area, of course, you are signing on in a sense to give a sense of identity, and you're identifying. And so those are the things. So the question that's raised, of course, to our audience, as well as, how did they get the information? Mm-hmm. It's odd, or it's funny to find out. It's not how they get the information. It's when they choose to use the information that they're collecting. Yeah. Those are the things that because this era of technology, this era of social media, and when it comes to identifying. Your gender, identifying your race, your color, all that kind of stuff. I mean, they're collecting this data.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only collecting the data, they're holding the data, utilizing the data. And then you wonder, of course, when it gets to the point of trying to, find out who has your phone messages, who has your emails and all that kind of stuff. Your information is out there. And it's the question that you raise is just a spark question to say we have to also recognize being careful what we're signing up for, especially when it comes to our phone messages, when it comes to signing up for different things that we buy on the web. When it comes to putting our credit card information in, everything is being collected. And so when you get to the point of saying we'll use this information for our benefit, we find out that you're now targeted in a sense, and you're receiving information. You're wondering why you're receiving information. That's because you signed up for that subscription. And if you didn't, they wound up getting your information or what have you because of what they're collecting, and they're using this, of course, against each and every one of us. And so it doesn't surprise me at all.
So let me explore that just a little bit further. Right. I'm being cynical to educate our brothers and sisters. And we go on a station break. I'm definitely going to get back to the racist text messages sent out about slavery. Right. So you said we signed up for it. Right. And then, you indicated that, basically the information is kept. Okay. So when we sign up for it, right, do you have access to the information?
No.
Okay. You got it. So no. You don't have access to the information, and I don't have access to the information. I don't have access to any of the information in my development, what my neighbors are viewing, right? What are their interests? I don't have their telephone numbers or anything like that. I don't have their cell phone numbers. I don't have their children's cell phone numbers. So what I'm getting cell phone numbers. So what I'm getting at here is that for those text messages to be sent out, the holders of that information had to give the information to some entity, because as of yet, it has not been reported that there was a security breach, that somebody stole that information, and that's how those emails and text messages were sent out, etc. That information was voluntarily given or voluntarily taken. And nobody's raising the question from the government level to the journalistic level to the news media outlets, etc. Where did they get that information to target our children, to target our college students, and to target our brothers and sisters? And since they are not raising the question from all of the entities, that says more. The unspoken of them not raising the question speaks more than the words that are coming out of their mouth. Let's go on a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let's go on a 30-second station break.
Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Welcome back to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love in sisterly affection. Bishop, you started an academy. You got an academy going on, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so let's take a pause right now.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get a 30-second station break.
Yes, sir.
Commercial recorded so that we can advertise your academy. Educate us, inform us, talk to us.
Man, I am excited for things that are on the horizon. KMA, Mastermind Academy, from the mindset of taking care and looking at changing your mind for life's masterclass is important. And so we're heavy right now. We have a class coming up in January 11th, starting our class. We have six classes based on a certification and a credential in Bible and ministry leadership. So I'm excited about the things that are on the horizon. We're going to have introduction to theology, developing the ministry, principles of leadership. Those things are happening in January. And then March is going to be biblical theology, church history, and ethical and moral leadership. These are the classes that's happening in the academy. 7-week classes. Exciting about what's happening, what's going on. And it's part of my KMA consulting firm where we're dealing with leadership and education being our filters. And so anything dealing with strategic planning, management, technology, faith-based organizations, we have some pastors out there, some leaders out there that are looking for their ministers to get a credential as well as certified in Bible and ministry leadership. Academy starting in January the 11th, 2025. Excited about what's happening.
That's good. Vision of Hope Baptist Church, we're celebrating 10 years. 10 years. You imagine that? 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
10 years ago. Yeah. I almost went to my Run DMC mode 10 years ago. A friend of mine asked me.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago, man.
Congratulations.
Thank you, man. We stepped out on faith, and at Drexelbrook at 10:30, Ted Drexelbrook 10:30, we'll be celebrating our 10th year anniversary. It's a banquet that we're having at Drexelbrook on December the 6th. Ticket price is $65. So please come out and support us. Thank you, Bishop. Our guest preacher will be Pastor Clement Lupton III, a beloved St. John evangelist.
Yes.
And then on December the 7th, we're celebrating my 10th year pastoral anniversary of Vision of Hope Baptist Church. And our guest preacher will be Pastor Rich White, amen, out of the Pittsburgh area, my best friend, brother in Christ, our brother in Christ. So we need to get those shout outs, and we're going to do another shout out again, 30, You know, at the next station break, and after that, at the last station break. So,
oh, yeah.
Now let's go back to unplugging this racist text message just sent out about slavery. So we probably will never get a concrete answer throughout time where the information came from. I know we got it from the algorithms and things like that. Was it Russia? Was it a Trump supporter? Was it Elon Musk? Was it a liberal Democrat that's trying to create division? You know, was it Reverend Dr. Wayne and Weathers? Was it Reverend Dr. Kevin Aiken? Was it Pastor Robert Johnson? Did we get the algorithms and sent them out? We don't know. And that's a question that the media is not asking at this point. I want to unplug this, right? Because not only have we not heard, we have not heard, you know, where they got the information from, but I also want to unplug the fact that we haven't been hearing anybody denounce it either.
Right.
Oh yeah, we gonna let's really talk about that. We haven't heard the incoming president denounce it, right?
Right.
Have you heard the outgoing president denounce it? No. Okay. So we haven't heard the incoming vice president denounce it. And correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't heard the outgoing vice president denounce it.
No.
So now I'm going somewhere because we really need to unpack this, because this is what bothered me about this election also, which is another conversation. And you and I'm happy about this. We ain't ready to announce it, but we get ready to launch this podcast to talk about why Kamala lost. So we're ready to go into a pre-recording. We're going to talk about it. We're going to advertise in about 24, 48 hours when this is going to be broadcast. All right. All that being said, this segue into has we heard anything from the Jewish community denouncing? Oh. I haven't heard anything, right? LGBTQ community. Have you heard anything, right?
Nothing.
Okay. Nothing. All right. I haven't heard anything either. And I stand to be corrected if there has. Latinx community, right?
You're haven't right.
heard anything. Okay. No. So reason why I go down that so reason why I go LGBTQ, Jewish community, Latinx community, Asian community. Any?
Not at all.
Okay. All right. So reason why I go down that route, because when the terrorist attack happened, right, in October against the Jewish community or any type of anti-Semitism that happens, we're the first to be able to condemn it and speak out against it. And I'm talking about national organization, because in fairness, man, this thing ticks Sam Spicer off. He's the sales manager at WWDB. So I don't want to lump everyone into one pot, you know, one pot and everything. But our national Jewish organizations, they've been silent on this. Our Latinx have been silent on this. Our Asian brothers and sisters have been silent on this. And the LGBTQ community has been silent. And the problem I have with the LGBTQ community is that they want to attach themselves with us when it benefits them. But when something directly happens to us, then they distance themselves because it's not of their interest. And if I'm wrong, I'll come back and apologize and say, you know what? I spoke. I didn't do my research. There has been, you know, they denounced this, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the problem that I have, because on one of our shows, God, about 6 months ago, there was a question asked. It was dealing with racism. I forget what the subject was, and the person who researched the item said they reached out to certain aspects of the community and said it wasn't their interest. You got me? So yeah. Why is it that when something happens to others, we as prophetic leaders, yourself, myself, others on the national stage and not on the national stage, we are quick to denounce the injustices and the inhumane behavior that's done against other ethnicities. But when it happens to us, they are silent. They are silent. Mm. And that does not set well with me. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you have parties and you have groups that are handling their agendas, and I have to say it that way. They are in a place where whatever their decisions are based on what hits them the most is what they actually tackle. The one thing that becomes important when you deal with these outrageous and grievous text messages or what have you that's hitting the African-American, Black people in a sense, and they're, taking us back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that is important that we do need to learn how to denounce it as a group. Now, there are individuals that are talking about it, and I want to kind of segue with that. And also want to rise up again based on what we're speaking about and talking about so that we can put some context to this. And I want to, read something as well. At the University of Alabama, of course, this week, Black Honors freshman Elise McCall was in tears and wanted to go home after getting a message saying she had been selected to pick cotton at the nearest plantation and should be prepared to be searched down. That statement, when I read it earlier, when you had sent the information, highlighted the fact that, hey, you know, it's something how where we are bringing up in a sentence, I want you to look at that, in a sentence. Mm-hmm. That they're using laborers.
Oh, I was gonna hit that. Go ahead. Let's go there.
Yeah, when we have actually advanced in our technology, and we have machinery or what have you that's dividing these areas, and we have plants and we have factories in a sense that are used to, separate or what have you and bring out this material, this cotton or what have you. Yet we go back to an archaic means of slavery to now pinpoint Black honor students or what have you, to give them a text message and to say that they were picked out to pick cotton and go to the nearest plantation. That language by itself is so antiquated and archaic that it's something to even begin to start discussing plantation. I mean, these conversations, plantation and picking cotton.
Hey, Bishop, I'm sorry to cut you up. One, the fact that you target educated students pursuing education that says Negro, and that's not the word that I would
right.
not in the air.
Right.
You know your place. Your place is not to be educated. Your place is to be a right. certain slave. And this is why right. I'm getting in trouble. So producers, get ready to beep this out, because I'm going to tell you what I told my congregation this past Sunday. I literally told them. I told them about the text. I read it. I said, anybody who tries to apprehend me, to take me back to slavery, I says, in that text, let them send me a text and say that. I said, you come try to get me, you got a decision where you're going to go, heaven or hell. Those are my exact words, and I mean that. Try come getting me. Your eternal resting place is either going to be heaven or hell, or biblically Hades. Bottom line, because ain't nobody taking me back. No. My ancestors fought too hard for me to have the freedom, and I'm gonna talk about this after the next station break. I was in Africa. I was in the slave dungeons of the atrocities. And atrocities isn't the word that can really capture what they did to our ancestors. I stood on the ground where their blood was, where their feces and their urine that changed the color of a red brick clay floor to black. I sensed the spirit and the horror. I said it won't be required to be. Okay. I sensed the horror and discerned it, right? What they encountered. I went through the door of no return, but I was blessed to be able to come back through the door that my ancestors were not able to come through. And you got the audacity to send a punk text, you know, talking about somebody going back to slavery? Yeah, uh-huh. Be a man or woman enough to come from behind that text and show who you are. Until then, you ain't nothing but a punk behind the text. Sorry, Bishop.
It's something, you know, and I know that the random text messages, and they did mention, and I have to say this, that it also did go to some Caucasians or what have you, because they did say that. And so I want to make sure that on the air that we are correct in our information that we're providing, that some of those that who are white also receive the racist messages, and it was in a personal email. And the one thing that we do want to say, based on the target, of course, the target was for Black people, in a sense, Black students, what have you. But it's also the idea of where we are when it comes to this great divide, or this idea of racism that is still cropping up in America, and that we must condemn it at any means necessary in order for us to continue to stay together. And we have to fight against these divisive measures. One thing that is important, that we do know what's on the horizon, and we do know where we are. And one of the things that we have, and when it comes to the election, and I know that in the aftermath of the election, the one thing that we have to do is we have to recognize exactly what won.
Yes.
And
What
that's
was not who,
not
what
who,
won?
but what won. And so because of that, we, I know we're going to go to a break, but I just want to say, when we come back, we really need to be dealing with, of course, well, what did win on Tuesday's election?
So let's go on a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let's go on our 30-second station break.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I could be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Hey, Bishop. We're
yes,
back.
Sir.
Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. December 6, 2024, 10:30 a.m. at Drexel Brook, Vision of Hope Baptist Church is celebrating 10 years in the vineyard. It started out with a voice of the Lord saying to me, Vision of Hope Baptist Church. Next, stepping out on faith, conquering the fear of doing what I literally told the Lord what I could not do. Going to a place that we didn't even know was available to us, just asking Pastor Robert Shipping, the Prince of Peace Baptist Church, could we utilize their fellowship hall? And the congregation embraced us wholeheartedly, not knowing where we were going to go when we were looking for a church. And 18 months later, we went from North Philly to Jenkintown, not even knowing that even after a year or two after being there, maybe a couple of years, that we would go through a pandemic. Vision of Hope Baptist Church, we started out as a church start, then a restart, then a church, no, excuse me, a church, excuse me, we started out as a church plant, then a replant, then a restart. What does that mean? We started out planting in North Philadelphia. Then we had to replant in Jenkintown. And then after the pandemic, we had to do a restart. And through all of that, we're still standing, still worshiping, still praising God. So join us. Vision of Hope Baptist Church at Drexel Brook. We are tickets are $65 on December the 6th. For more information, please get in contact with me. We would love to have your face in the place as we celebrate 10 years in the vineyard. After next hour, I'll talk about my consulting business, my consulting business, BFG LLC Consulting. Hey, I'm learning how I'm not good at self-promoting myself, but hey, nah, man, I'm definitely gangbusters now. There's a lot going on. Bishop, let's get
yes,
back
sir.
To the subject. Let's get back to the subject. So you talked about not who won, but what won, all right? Before I even talk about the implications of the text, right? Let's unplug that. We've been talking about who won. We haven't focused on what won, and what won in this election emboldened these cyber bullies now to send out text messages to display their racism.
Oh, yeah.
So what won?
Wow. Well, We do know that what won is that women, you know, may not have a right to control anything in the sense of what their decisions would be. And I say that based on their relationship with the Lord or what have you, even though, you know, we're pro-life, of course, when it comes to that, you know, what have you. But Roe v. Wade have been overturned. And what's left up to the state. So what won?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things that were lost. I mean, when it comes to that, you know, discrimination won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to those areas, and you know, looking at those things when it comes to having a sense of pride with oneself.
Mm-hmm. Bishop, somehow your sound went out. You check your mic.
Am I good now?
Yeah, your mic's back on. Yes, yes.
Okay. So many things comes by way of advancement, you know. I think when it comes to our sense of freedom, you know, we know that that's another subject, you know, when it comes to what are we free from.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that, you know, division won. You know, when we think about the insurrection, we think about those things in that regard, and we talk about the oppression. And I say that because there was a whole lot of things that happened after in the aftermath of the election. And we found out that a lot of people heart was not in the most happiest or joyous occasion. And we realized that hatred won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I say all these different things that we occur. But these are what we're dealing with when it comes to the next 4 years.
Yeah,
you know, we have to look at that. You know,
I'm gonna add a piece of there. Who won also? And I learned this term, and I use this a lot. You know, maybe past 3 or 4 months, I learned this from a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. Brian Foreman taught us this term: conflict managers. Conflict entrepreneurs.
They won.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh, wow.
What are conflict entrepreneurs? Let me explain that concept. Conflict entrepreneurs are those who create conflicts and then maximize off the dollars off the conflict that they created. Mm-hmm. So we have a system now that has placed all of us against each other, black against white, conservative against liberal, this group against that group, and they got you thinking they have your best interests at heart. And while they got all of us tearing each other apart, they're making money off of the conflict. They're making money off the conflict. So, wow. Yeah, there's a book that I'm reading, my brother in Christ, best friend from seminary, loving the life, Serenius IV. He was talking to me. He said, get this book. It's called Confession of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins. Not the John Perkins we know, African-American rights leader, but John Perkins. Confession of an Economic Hitman. And when I'm reading this book, I literally cannot put this book down. It's almost 300 pages. I literally cannot put this book down because I see the current state of America being hit by economic hitman. And an economic hitman is trained to go in and destabilize countries, get them to take out debts that they cannot pay so that it'll make them indebted to a particular entity so that they will be loyal to them to destabilize their government.
Wow. Wow.
This person is trained to do that. Yeah. It's the Confession of an Economic Hitman. And I'm literally, Bishop, I'm reading this book and I cannot put it down. I cannot put it down. Thank you, Serenius, for side four, my brother in Christ from Liberia. He passes in Wilmington, Delaware. Thank you, man, for sharing that with me. I want to also talk about I want to talk about the implications of the text here. So when the text says you have been selected to be a slave. First of all, stupid, nobody selected to be a slave. We were snatched, sold out. You right. got me? We were either bought by the slave master or sold out by a small percentage of our ancestors. So let's make that clear. In Ghana, what they taught us was that it wasn't the majority of the folks in Ghana that sold us out. It was a small percentage. So let's make that clear, because what racists tend to do is they tend to justify slavery, not by focusing on the slave masters that bought us and treated us in worse in an atrocious way. But I've also heard the argument, well, Africans sold their own into slavery, like it justifies it. No, they didn't rape us. They didn't mutilate us. They didn't strip us of our dignity. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. That was the westernized European that took us and bought us from our ancestors and brought us over here and brutally treated us, right? So when you say you've been picked for slavery, idiot, nobody's picked for slavery. You're captured for slavery. That's the first thing. And ain't nobody capturing us for slavery without a fight taking place, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is when you talk about you've been picked for slavery, so what you're saying is that you want to get free labor for nothing.
Right.
You got me? You want to get labor for nothing. So you want us to go out and first of all, ain't no, like you said before, ain't nobody picking cotton.
Yeah.
There's a machine. You got me? There's a machine. Matter of fact, in the 21st century, you ain't even got the, if you got the money, you ain't even got the vacuum your own rug anymore. You
sure
got a robot vacuum cleaner that can vacuum your own rug. So just think, you've been selected to pick cotton. First of all, idiot, nobody gets selected. They get captured. Second of all, there's something called the cotton gin that killed the slave industry, because when the cotton gin was created, that stopped manual labor from picking cotton. So nobody, excuse my broken English, ain't nobody going selected to go to slavery to pick cotton. Third, plantations don't exist no more because they're building housing development on plantations. So tell me in the South, either they built housing plantations on it or they maintain it for just a historical notch, but it's not, you know, I could go some other directions, but I could get some. So let me just stop right there. So name me a plantation where you got slaves working, right? And so you're getting our folks up in an uproar because there's a punk behind the text that's sending out who don't have the guts to show their face, right? You don't have the guts to show your face for the racist text that you are sending. So that tells me that you ain't got the backbone to stand behind what you've been sending out.
Yeah. You know what, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. Am I missing something?
Hear me. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean the idea, and I want to say this, and I think it's important. And this is something that I want to, you know, kind of encourage our all that are speaking or listening as we are speaking. Be careful.
You're off mic. You were coming in clear, but you're a little bit off right now.
Hold on, let me see if I can. Don't know what's happening here. The microphone. Can you hear me?
Yes, it's a little muffled, but we can hear you.
I think my mic came out. My microphone, it came out.
Oh, that's not better now.
Okay, listen. Before we go on our break, it's important to note we have to be very careful. And the reason why we have to be very careful is because we cannot get sidetracked.
That's right.
Don't let the emails, text messages, conversations or anything take you back to have discussions that does not make sense. Because if you really think about it, it doesn't make any sense for us to even be talking about picking cotton.
That's a bully, and that's someone that's trying to get attention so that we can make the discussion. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure that we understand that as we are bringing up and as these subject matters, we want to encourage you not to fall for it, because it's a virus trying to divide and take us out, and it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah. Let me, and let's share this, and then we go on a station break. And then if you could unplug and then plug back in your mic, you got me. Here's the deep part. You just said something, Bishop. I want to say this and then go on a station break. Because when folks send something to distract us, right? When they send something to distract us, check this out. They get us to focus on this while they go do that. So while all of us focusing on the text message, that's where the focus is on who's sending out these hateful text messages. Oh, this is racist. This is filled with hate, blah, 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 blah. And as we focus on this, we miss what they're doing over here. Let's go on a 30-second station break, conversation and plug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. 30-second station break.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care.
Hey, welcome back to Conversation and Plug on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let me just take time right now. In addition to being a radio show host, pastor, adjunct professor, yeah, doing a lot of things, positive things, I'm also a consultant on Bound for Greatness, LLC, Consulting LLC. I do nonprofit consulting, corporate consulting, political consulting. What I do is, as a consultant, my goals and my responsibility is to help you achieve the greatness that you desire to obtain. And that's what I do as a coach, and that's what I do as a consultant also. So if you're looking to utilize my services, please get in contact with me. I would love to sit down and consult with you in regards to what it is that you're looking to obtain. I was blessed to consult this year in 2024 with the Exodus Foundation with Reverend Dr. Madeline McClenney. And it was a blessed opportunity to work with my sister in Christ out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Her home office is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I also did some consulting with the Pennsylvania Democratic Party working on the Biden-Harris campaign. Excuse me, not the Biden-Harris, working on a Harris-Waltz campaign. So was able to do consulting in that manner. So again, if you're looking for a business consultant, corporate consultant, nonprofit consultant, political consultant, faith-based consultant, please get in contact with Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers, BFG Consulting, LLC. Bishop, are you able to reconnect back? Are you able to reconnect?
Can you hear me?
Still distance, but that's all right. Let's just continue to roll with it. You got it? Where do we go from here, Bishop? Where do we go from here? Text messages has been sent out. No one can identify who is sending out the text messages, right? We haven't got any condemnation from the Democratic Party, Republican Party, Libertarian Party, Green Party, you know. Anybody's having a house party, you know what I mean? We haven't gotten any condemnation there. NAACP has spoken out. I haven't heard anything from any national Jewish organizations, any national Latinx organizations, any national Asian organizations, any national LGBTQ organizations. We haven't heard anything from that. Sometimes right now, I'll be very candid with you, look like we're in this by ourselves. Sometimes I get frustrated being one of the first ones to voice, you know, the injustices that's committed against others, but yet to see that same voice don't rush to speak out against injustices against us. Where do we go from here, Bishop?
Well, the one thing about it, we have to
Good.
We have to band together and make sure that our social circles are aware not to fall for these text messages, emails, conversations that are divisive. We have to learn how to be optimistic when it comes to our discussions on where we're headed. And we cannot allow the administration, in the sense that we may not necessarily agree with, take us off our mark. And we understand, too, that we are assigned to a higher authority in order to honor. And I know from a man of faith that God is governed in my particular life, and that we have to remember that prayer does change things. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes to the understanding of where we are and what we need to do, we have to learn how to band together and to begin to start praying. And I know that some people say, well, that's what we've been talking about, and we've been dealing with this idea of prayer, but it's really kind of being faith without works is dead. We have to work at it. We have to, you know, get up every day. If we don't necessarily like something, we have to learn how to change it. And that's you know, this conversation of boots on the ground. We got to get down, and we have to start now speaking to each person in a positive format to our neighbor, and letting our neighbor know exactly what we need to focus on, and bringing together this idea of togetherness and unity. And we can come together, and believe it or not, we can fight against anything that is in has to deal with injustices. We can fight against that. Learn how to band together as a people, you know. And I guess this idea of if my people would call by my name, would humble themselves, you know, seek God's faith, turn from their wicked ways, that's when He'll come and heal the land. We'll hear from heaven, He'll heal the land. I think the biggest thing for us to do is to spread some, you know, some love throughout our communities, and that's banding together. You know, there's a whole lot of different things that's in need. If whatever we're in need of, we have to learn how to come together and provide those needs if we can. If we can't do it ourselves, we have to also reach out to the community and find out what, you know, we have as a community. I will say this, and then I can, you know, as a church, we make sure that our presence are known in the community. If somebody needs food, we provide that for them. If they need clothing, we provide that for them. If they need some form of counseling in that regard, if we cannot do it, we provide that for them and give some recommendations. If they need some items of household items, what have you, we provide those things for them. And that's really how we move this narrative, how we move this community, how we move people. We have to learn how to come together, band together, and to provide for our communities and provide for our families. And that's how we combat this behavior sometimes that we do not like. That's irrefute, and that behavior that is not of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we have to get our symbolic seatbelts strapped, because this is what's yet to come. It's what's yet to come. I shared with my congregation, you know, the sermon was, God will get us through this. But I did tell him, we got difficult days coming. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Someone say, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Well, you didn't tell the prophet to speak with thus saith the Lord when God told him doom and gloom is getting ready to happen, right? To get the Israelites to return back to God. Doom and gloom is getting ready to hit. We have basically given Donald Trump the shovel, where he's taken the final phase of the casket of the civil rights movement that was already been placed in the graveyard by predecessors, right? And now they got the The shovel, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. No repass, no Kool-Aid. Let's just bury it and keep it going. Where do we go from here? The Bible says, as I close out, we may close out a couple minutes early. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, like a roaring lion, seeketh about whom he may devour. Right. And that's where we go from here. It's time to unplug now on Conversation Unplug on WWDB 860 AM in the City of Brotherly Love and Sisterly Affection. We thank you for joining us as the music is now playing and as we get ready to close out. Let's just get ready for what's yet to come. A punk behind a text message is still a punk. You can't get revved up about punks who just want to send messages and won't identify themselves. We ain't going back to slavery, and we ain't going back to picking cotton. But we're about liberation, and we will liberate our brothers and sisters from despair. Thank you for joining the Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM. Share this Facebook show with everyone so we can get our numbers up. Tune in next week. If God allows us to have breath in our body, we'll return back on Conversation Unplugged, WWDB 860 AM. Take care and God bless.
God bless you.